This is NBC News Radio.
Diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden. Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome, everyone, to Smart Health Talk. And boy, are you guys lucky that you're tuning in to us today, because we have some information you are not going to want to miss. Any of you out there that are lovers of bananas, pineapples, potatoes, salmon, any of those things, you are not going to want to miss our show today. We're going to touch base on the fruits and vegetables first for just about a minute here, and then I'm going to welcome my guest today, who I just came to know, Dr. Alex Morton, in about the past couple of weeks, and learned about her work up in British Columbia testing salmon. I mean, this woman has been at this for like 20 years. She has been out there fighting this fight about farm salmon, spreading of disease, parasites, just environmental impact, you know, not testing for these viruses. And, you know, we're going to talk about where this diseased fish is actually ending up. You're going to want to hear about that, but trust me. And just overall, what's happening with this system, not just in British Columbia, but other places in the world, and possibly right here in our own backyard in the USA. Those of you that have been tuning into our show probably know that there is the comment period just finished for genetically engineered salmon here in the U.S., but there's still plenty of time to get your voice in there about GE salmon. And I'm hoping that you're going to stay with us the entire show today, because by the end of this show, I think you're going to understand why all of us here at Smart Health Talk are so, so passionate about this whole GE salmon, blocking it, stopping it forever, getting all of these genetically modified foods out of our food system. And the thing is, it's not just ending there. You heard me mention pineapple, papaya, potatoes, bananas. All of these things have now just been approved as GE foods. Add those to the list. So they don't have to tell you. Simplot is wanting to do their own little GMO salmon up in Idaho. Then we have Dole doing the GMO pineapple. And, of course, they've got the papaya over there, too, in Hawaii. And bananas are being developed. This is crazy, because there's, oh, we need to help people have more vitamin A and iron, you know, and it's like, you don't need to genetically modify a banana, which is already quite perfect just the way it is. Why don't you make access to foods that have more iron and vitamin A easier for the people to get? For all the money that you spend developing some GMO banana, we could be creating a huge infrastructure of, you know, other foods, other varieties of foods that have vitamin A and iron in them for these people that will be sustainable for a long period of time and not need pesticides. How about that? Okay, well, there is, like, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg, people. But what I call this is a gold rush of GMOs, because this is crazy. We've got Nestle over trying to take over a healing flower. They want to own that flower. This, you know, trees. I mean, just on and on. People just trying to, like, grab this stuff and say, we own it. We own it. We're going to put our DNA in it, and we're going to contaminate it. And then we own that contaminated plant also. But this whole thing is just, like, insane. But don't worry, okay? We're going to be breaking it down for you. We have ways that you can take action. We're going to have all that information for you today, and believe me, you are going to fall in love with Dr. Morton. Ever since I first saw the video and heard her story about what she is doing up in British Columbia, I became an instant fan. She has been out there for 20 years testing fish, fighting the government, fighting big money. And trust me, these fish farms, we're talking billions of dollars here, and only owned by like a handful of people. So you can imagine the power behind all this. She has no fear. She stands up against these people, against the government, because she stands for the people. The people of Canada, the tribes that have been in Canada for way before we ever got there. She is just a very incredible woman, and I want to welcome her to Smart Health Talk. Alex, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, hi. Hi, Dr. Morton. And this is Dr. Alex Morton, everyone, up in British Columbia, Canada. Welcome so much to Smart Health Talk. Thanks for taking time out of your day.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here.
Well, as I don't know if you heard me, but I was telling everyone about the video that I saw a couple weeks ago, and you instantly became my hero, and I just started thinking, oh my gosh, you know, and the thing is, I read stuff all day long, and I had not heard about what was happening over in Norway and Chile and Scotland and Ireland with all of their salmon, and it just devastation of like their entire populations and billions of dollars lost and all of this stuff. And I thought, gosh, where have I been? I didn't even like understand all this stuff was going on. So I know that you're really good at explaining it, and I'm going to let you kind of just take over and talk to our listeners and kind of take us through, you know, what has been going on up there, because there are some threats to our just freedom, general freedoms, even to be able to speak up when we know that there's wrongs going on when it comes to our food that could harm people and the environment. So
yeah, it's true. I was quietly studying killer whales in a very remote place in British Columbia, Canada, when salmon farms moved in from Norway. And at first, I thought they were a great idea. They thought, you know, eat the fish in the farm, let the wild fish swim free.
And jobs, too, probably, you were thinking.
Yes. For my little community, there was only, you know, very small. We all live off the grid. There's no roads. You get there by boat. And so, yeah, an industry like that moving into town, it looked like a huge job opportunity. Keep our school open and all. But very rapidly, I realized that these salmon feedlots, they're in net pens that are set into the ocean, and they will hold 500,000 to 1 million salmon in one place. Right there, for nature, that's a red alert. Nature doesn't like that. Salmon are supposed to move through the area and spread their waste out, spread their impact out.
So these are all confined in a space where they're in close proximity to each other, kind of like, you know, the chicken you know, the way they raise chickens and cows and all that. It's where it's, you know, it's terrible. We know from that, you know, that's why they have to give them antibiotics every day, because without them, they die.
Right, because the viruses and bacteria and parasites change inside that kind of a situation. So in the wild, a virus doesn't really want to kill the fish. It wants to live on that fish and live as long as it can and reproduce and spread. But in a salmon farm, it changes the rules because the fish are so close together. Everybody's going to be pulled out of there in 18 months anyway. So the virus has become much more virulent. And this happens whether we're talking pigs, chickens, cows. But in those circumstances on land, we've learned to close it down so that, or close it up, so that the wild birds, for example, don't land into a chicken farm and then move on to infect other bird populations. But in the ocean, because these things are in big net pens, the tide goes through, carries all the pathogens out. When a salmon feedlot is having an outbreak of disease, 65 billion infectious viral particles come out of there per hour.
Wow.
Then on top of that, you have the additional problem that they're farming Atlantic salmon in the Pacific because they're the money fish. They're the ones that grow fat really fast. And so then the problem is introduction of exotic viruses. So you not only amplify the local viruses, but you are amplifying and producing viruses that aren't supposed to be there in the first place. Nature is very tidy about things like this. The adult salmon come into the rivers, they all die. The babies hatch, and they come out. And so the generations don't mix. But in the salmon farms, you've got the wild fish to come by. They can pass sea lice or disease to the farm fish. It brews all winter. And here come the little wild guys, and they run into huge populations of adult fish again and again and again. And so the pathogens of their parents infect them. The pathogens from the Atlantic Ocean infect them. And it's just chaos.
Well, I just had someone tell me that they had went on a ferry up there in British Columbia, and that the fish farm was like right in the middle of the river. And when they tried to pass the fish farm, they barely even could squeak by because the passageway was so small.
Yeah, so that would have been in an inlet, a saltwater inlet, not a river. But yeah, they're very big, and they do extend out into the passageway.
So if the fish are swimming by, you know, there's no way for them to even get away from that. It's right there.
That's correct. And when the viruses pour out, they disperse themselves through the whole channel. So what's happening now is the wild salmon come out of the rivers and they run through these narrow channels with these big feedlots in them, and they're being bathed in whatever is coming out of those farms. The wild salmon of British Columbia are mysteriously disappearing. Nobody can figure out why. And so there was a $26 million federal inquiry. And there I learned all about the diseases inside these feedlots. And it changed my life. I went from studying whales to studying viruses. So I go all over the rivers. I take little pieces of dead fish. I talk to fishermen. And I'm sending these into labs in Norway and in Canada and getting results that are really bothering the government and really bothering the Norwegian salmon farming industry.
Because you're getting positive results for these viruses.
Yes, positive results for a type of influenza virus that has caused $2 billion of damages in Chile from Norway. Positives for another really insidious one called Piscine Rio virus, which actually is causing heart damage in fish all over the place.
I tell you, listeners, you have got to, when you go to our YouTube channel, which is Smart Health Talk, and then you look under, I think I had it under like new fish or something like that. I'll make sure that it's like the first folder. But when you watch the video with Dr. Morton in there, I'm telling you, this, you show in the video the heart, what happens to the heart muscle from that virus, how the heart muscle just becomes mush. It's not even a muscle anymore.
No, it's not. And that's what the literature says, is that this virus causes a disease that makes the muscles turn soft and flabby. Matter of fact, one of the scientific papers said, you know, it's strange that people are eating fish for heart health when the fish themselves are dying of a virus that's attacking their heart. So
that is just so freaky. And, like, when I saw you, like, touch the heart and to show that it was, you know, it was had just turned to mush like that. And then, but then the problem was, like, the first virus that you talked about, the influenza virus, that is something that is on, like, an international registry that has to be reported and all that. But this other virus, it's so new that it hasn't made that list, and so that's kind of giving them a reason to not, oh, well, we didn't report it because it's not, like, on that list kind of thing. The fish farms, when they're confronted about having fish in their fish farm that are infected with this virus.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The internationally reportable one, the United States, U.S. FDA has said they don't want that virus coming in, and so my positive test results here in British Columbia are a very disturbing situation for them, so they're just denying them, even though I'm using two of the top labs, one in Canada, one in Norway. And then the other virus, like you say, they're just saying, oh, you know, it doesn't do anything. But in Norway, the research that's coming out of there, they are putting very strong warnings on their papers saying it's got to be contained, it spreads like wildfire. Veterinarians that have heard my talks go, ooh, reovirus, those, you got to watch those. They're very, they go into cells very easily and they carry other pathogens with them. So it's a whole new world for me and a very difficult situation that I'm in now where fish farmers are putting these things into the water. And so the day before yesterday, I filed a lawsuit against the Minister of Fisheries in Canada and also Marine Harvest, the biggest Norwegian fish farm that we have here, for putting diseased fish into one specific salmon feedlot on the migration route, one of the biggest migration routes in this country. And, of course,
well, I want to just take a moment. I want everyone to understand what Dr. Morton just said. She has taken on the federal government of Canada. She's taken on the government of Norway because the government is actually an owner in the fish farms there, which to me seems like a total conflict of interest, having the government be part owner of fish farms. And I wanted to backtrack a little bit too on that what happened in Chile, because that virus that you've just been talking about, it wiped out, it was like 70%, billions of dollars worth of salmon there, this virus. So this is how heavy duty this virus is, and that is what has prompted Dr. Morton to take these kind of actions, to take on the government like this, because I know exactly how you feel, because it's like all this knowledge that I have of GMOs and, like, the pesticides and all this stuff that's going on and what they're feeding them, it's like I have a hard time even going to a restaurant anymore because I'm just thinking, oh man, I know it, like, they probably fed this cow, you know, or whatever, and it's like, oh, I don't think I really want to eat this. And after watching your video, that was just, like, so upsetting. And the part of your video where, and I just wanted to discuss this for a second because I want people to understand the motivation. Why would, you know, this peace-loving woman, you know, that's up, just up there trying to do good, you know, for the environment, do something so drastic to file a lawsuit against the government? And when I saw in that video how you were out there in those rivers and there was just hundreds of dead salmon floating in the water, and you would cut them open and, like, the eggs were all in there.
Yeah, that's a really sad thing. The fish are getting all the way there and then they're dying just before they spawn. And
that is so upsetting, just looking at all those dead fish floating in the water like that, full of eggs, never got to spawn, and then you were cutting them open, and I'm telling you, you got to see this video, because I don't remember the name of the gentleman that was with you there But he was just looking at one fish. He's like, God, these fish, there is just no doubt they're sick. I have never seen anything like this before. And he was like, and it wasn't just one thing. It was like all these different symptoms. And we're talking sores on the outside of the fish. And I loved what you said when you were like going into the store even and looking at those fish on how us city folks, we don't even know what a healthy fish looks like.
Yeah, that was one of the shocking things. So the salmon farmers won't let me test their fish. And
they won't let you test it. That is like crazy.
So we don't even have that right.
We don't have the right as citizens to tell a fish farm that we insist that their fish are tested somehow, even if you were willing to pay for it.
Well, it's something they really don't want people to know about. And so British Columbia even tried to pass a law that would have put me in jail for 2 years and fined me $75,000 or anybody for talking about disease in a farm animal. And I was lucky. A bunch of lawyers warned me that this was coming on. Of course, I didn't know this was...
This is Bill number 37 from Canada, everyone. And this is like Big Brother in action here. This is just insane. Go ahead and tell them about this law, Dr. Morton.
Yeah, so this law, the provincial government wanted to pass it. And if anybody talked about disease in a farm animal, that 2 years in jail and $75,000 fine. Fortunately, a bunch of lawyers noticed this, and they wrote letters and said, you know what, this isn't even constitutional. And
Thank gosh.
For whatever reason, I suspect it's because of them, the provincial government never did pass it. I went and sat in the parliament. I wanted to watch this law pass. I wanted to see them do it. And in the end, they didn't do it. So that was a huge relief. But the problem continues in that the fish from British Columbia are going into the United States and largely into California. And I don't think that people know that this industry here is impacting the wild salmon. So when you eat farm salmon, many people think that they're saving wild salmon. In fact, sometimes the fish farmers do advertisements that say another wild salmon saved when you look at the picture of the farm salmon.
Oh, really? You have ads like that there?
If you go to the Skuna Bay site, there's one there, and it says a piece of sushi, and then it says another wild salmon saved. Just completely misleading. Nobody sets fishing quotas based on farm salmon production. But furthermore, the disease and the sea lice coming out of these operations are not good for the wild salmon. Wild salmon have declined everywhere as this industry has gone. It is because it just breaks the natural law. And so one of the most important things that the public can do is reject the product, because your store really doesn't care whether it's farmed or wild. They just want you to buy it. And so this is a very powerful tool that, of course, everybody has. They have the power of their money. You're either going to feed the good thing or the thing that is bad for the planet. And so we have a website. It's called the Salmon Feedlot Boycott. salmonfeedlotboycott.com, and people are signing up to that saying they will not buy farm salmon. We only have 4,736 people on there right now, but we don't have a huge advertising budget. As I said, I'm a biologist. This really is way beyond what I thought I was going to be doing with my life. But
I never thought I was going to be taken on the government of Canada.
Yeah, no, I had a really quiet life planned.
Obviously, you like live in the middle of like, you know, in the middle of a forest or something up there that's like hard to even get to. So I would guess that was your plan.
Yeah, I wrote a book. It's called Listening to Whales. But I could write a new book, How to Talk to Bureaucrats. I'm actually still trying to figure that one out because it's a language that still mystifies me. But,
well, there's confounding factors involved there that's called big pharma money. that kind of you throw that into the mix, and people just don't even act normal. So it's hard to predict behavior when they're acting so abnormal because of money just changes people in incredible ways. And it's very, very sad that these people are willing to sell out. And I was just shocked Those were like some characters, boy, in the video, the different government officials. They are the one lady that like blinked like crazy.
I know. Well, you can see that the position she is in is not one that she's comfortable with.
You could tell she was very nervous about it. She was not used to being in the spot like that.
She didn't feel good about what she was saying.
Because she knew it was wrong. She knew everything that was going on there was wrong, and it just showed in her face. And then the one guy from the DFO, it's like, oh, well, we've heard that, you know, that wild salmon can have diseases too. And it's like, that's all you have to say? That's the best you can come up with?
Yeah.
So weak.
One of the terrible things that I have learned is that everyone eventually has a reason to betray the wild salmon. Whether they're
That's a good
academic,
way to put it.
Yeah, it's really sad. And so those guys, they think they're just protecting their jobs and their pension, which, you know, I completely understand that. But at some point, you've got to break ranks because life on Earth is being so threatened by the status quo, by the bureaucracies, and by the corporate mentality that's out there. Because the trouble with these corporations, I went and met with the CEO of the biggest fish farmer, the Marine Harvest Fish Farm here, that is doing so much damage. And she said to me, she said, look, I can't move any of these farms off migration routes because I have to make the share price of the company go up 4 times a year. So she is mandated. That is, she has to do that. If she doesn't do that, she's in violation of really the only laws that actually count on this planet anymore, and those are the corporate laws. But to actually protect life, to say, whoa, you know what? We really can't be doing this. We cannot be raising diseased fish on the wild salmon routes of British Columbia because those fish are not only feeding 100 species and feeding the people, they're feeding the trees that are making oxygen and pulling the carbon out of the atmosphere. They are important to the whole planet.
I read that it was like 137 different species are dependent on salmon.
Yeah, that's right. They are one of these incredibly generous creatures. They go out to the open ocean, and they basically collect the energy that the sun creates when it hits the ocean. So when the sun hits the ocean, it makes plankton. And fish eat plankton, and the salmon eat those fish, and then they come home on a schedule, and they climb up the mountains, and their bodies are distributed through the forest. So the nitrogen of the ocean is very specific, and scientists have traced it all the way into the alpine meadows, into the care of goats, because an eagle will take it, and then, you know, he has some droppings up there, and they feed the grass, and the goat eats the grass.
How did it feel? Like, I wanted, one of the things that was the biggest shocker to me in the video is that back in 2009, 10,000 salmon left to go to the ocean, but hardly any of them came back.
Yeah, it was in the millions.
Wasn't that freaky?
It was.
I mean, something that was just like, you know, part of like breathing, you know, that was like clockwork, you know, the salmon left, they come back, you know, all the fish boats went out, and then everyone's like, where is the salmon?
Well, the really horrible scenes were
millions
the ones
gone.
That my friends that work with bears, the bears were
starving,
panicked, running up and down the stream, eventually eating each other. You know, just imagine that. You have a timeline. You're going to go hibernate, and if those fish aren't there, you've made the gamble that that stream is going to have fish, and you get there, and there's no fish. I know this phrase is overused, but it is a crime against humanity, because I keep thinking about the next generation and the one after that. They're going to look back at what we did to them. We took everything away from them. They need to just simply survive.
Just so a handful of corporations could make billions of dollars. This is not for the people. This all comes down to corporate greed. And the GE salmon, the genetically engineered salmon, is, you know what I just read today, Dr. Morton, that I didn't know, is that when they tested these GE salmon, first of all, they said if you introduce just, it was like, 60 GE salmon to 60,000 wild salmon, within 40 generations, the wild salmon would be extinct. And that that these salmon, when there's plenty of food for everyone, that they're fine. But as soon as, and they're voracious eaters, just voracious, because they grow so fast and twice as big. But once you took away so that there wasn't enough food, they went cannibal, and they started eating other salmon. I mean, you're just talking right now about these fish eating plankton, and I'm picturing these GE salmon going after each other and turning into cannibals and eating each other. And it's just like, it's sickening. It's like, what are we creating here? We're creating cannibalistic GE salmon, and then we're going to eat it. And something that, when I saw your movie and I started finding out your work that you were doing, where, you know, first they kept blocking you from being able to test the salmon in the farms. And so you started, someone suggested to you, well, hey, what about the salmon in the store?
Yeah.
And you went in the store and you knew what to look for, and you were seeing salmon that, obviously, I call it failure to thrive as a dietitian, but the fish were failing to thrive because they were sick and they weren't eating, and you're looking at the fish going, God, these fish are way too thin. You're seeing open sores on the outside of the fish. Inside their gills, you can tell, and I know because I did some I did some research on koi fish, and I was shocked to find out that there was something called koi herpes that was spreading like crazy in fish. And so that's why when I think when I heard your story about all this stuff, it was so easy for me to understand how this could happen, because I already knew what was happening with the koi fish and the spread of the herpes virus in them. And these viruses are just, they can spread. And so, like, so what happens too in the water, even with these viruses, they're like getting into, we were talking about the store. So you actually went into the store and got some of these fish, and you took them right in the parking lot there, and took samples and put them in the little sample plastic containers and locked them up, put them on ice, and you sent them right away in the mail to be tested at the top testing facilities in the world. So there's no question, is this a good test or is this a bad test? You had the very best people testing this, and what did you find?
I found the salmon flu virus, ISA virus, which is not supposed to be here. It's a reportable virus. I found positive test results for the Piscine Rio virus, positive test for ISA virus, positive test for salmon alpha virus. All of these are viruses that are doing tremendous damage in Europe. We don't have the final confirmation that the virus is actually there. We're just dealing with pieces of the virus. But the labs say, given the fact that I'm dealing with fish from supermarkets, they feel very certain that the viruses are here. To get the full living virus, you need to go basically to a fish farm and get a dying fish out of the farm. Now, because they won't let me do that, the viruses have shattered into pieces, and by the time I'm, you know, able to do anything with it, they're in pieces. And that this is how the industry is getting away with saying, oh, no, we can ignore her test, because all she has is the pieces of the virus.
I loved how you chased the eagle that grabbed one of the sick fish out of the water.
Yeah,
and you went and you were like trying to get it out of from that eagle, and that is just like crazy that, you know, we can't even go. And you would think, you know, the government would just be all over this, and the fact that this is in the food that we're eating in the store. I just like in pure shock that all this stuff is going on. And then I think I read that they approved something like this whole big lot of salmon that they know tested positive, and our government refused to allow in our country. But then they decided, well, we're going to let it grow to adult,
yes,
and we're going to feed it to people.
That was in Nova Scotia. And so that has to do with the ISA virus that I was just talking about, the one that's influenza type. And they were paying the fish farmers up to $30 a fish if they told them to kill those fish and you know, destroy them, because they don't want this to spread to the wild salmon. But eventually the government just gave up, because there was too much of it, I think. They couldn't afford to keep paying the farmers to kill their fish.
Oh, I read about that. Like, one quote was they had already given them $100 million, and I'm thinking, these people are getting paid for having sick fish and having bad farming practices, and they're getting $100 million of taxpayer money, getting, like, they're getting rewarded for that. And you know what I love that you said, Dr. Morton? I thought this was, I have, like, repeated this several times since I heard you say it. Well, there were a couple of things that I want to make sure that I get in here. The first thing was that what you said about, like, what happens in the wild with a sick fish, it's taken out early on, and so it never ends up on people's plate. But
yeah,
so explain that. Yeah, explain that to everyone.
Yeah, in the wild, as soon as a fish gets slow or starts to wobble, there's a predator, takes it out. So whether it's a small fish and it's eaten by a merganser or a kingfisher, or it's a larger fish and it's eaten by a killer whale or a sea lion, that's how nature cleans up. These sick fish just aren't allowed to continue. And but in the farm, the pellets are dropping from the sky. No predator can get in. So the fish lives until the disease is so through the body that the disease kills the fish. And by then, it has shed, you know, large amounts of the virus. That's what the viruses do. That's what a virulent virus is doing, is it's reproducing.
And it stays alive in the water, and so it's not only spreading to all the rivers up there, but then those rivers then flow down into the United States. And so then that's, like you said, that this is getting to California, Washington, Oregon, all along our coast. Because of the fish farms up in British Columbia, like, pretty much just up there just growing this virus in their tanks. But not just viruses. And, like, these lice that you're talking about, and people need to understand this, these lice are disgusting. And I've seen what you had, like, one fish that you pulled out of, and it was a little small fish, and it had, like, something like all kinds of lice on this one little tiny fish just swimming in the river like a wild fish. And the thing is, these viruses too, before I forget, I want to mention this. These viruses, we're talking about salmon here, but these viruses can kill other fish.
They definitely look like they're infecting other fish. Yeah, I'm picking up positive test results in herring and other species. It's insane to risk something so precious. So if they really want to grow salmon, they should do it in a tank. I don't think it's a good idea myself to grow salmon, because you go fishing, you catch a lot of fish, you grind them into pellets, you add a bunch of grains, you throw it back in the water, and you take out less fish. So you've now used up protein on the planet, you've used up fuel, and you have done something that is harmful to the area where it's being, both the food's being taken out of down in Chile and where the food is being put back in up here in British Columbia.
So that's a very interesting concept. So what you're saying, that really for the amount of food that it takes to feed these farm fish, and then it also takes away food from the wild fish, plus the fact that they're adding all these diseases that are knocking down the wild fish. So if we would just get rid of the farm fish and focus on the wild fish and not killing them with these viruses and letting them have a perfectly healthy environment, that they would come back and be able to feed us again.
I truly believe that, because I have seen a couple of instances where the fish farms were removed for one of the cycles of the wild salmon, and the wild salmon have responded phenomenally. They also are a fish that really is designed to over-reproduce. It produces so much that predators can eat them. They do produce a surplus. So what I was going to say is I think that there's probably some brilliant forms of aquaculture where maybe you start with growing algae products, and then you feed that to a fish, and then you use the waste of that fish to grow another vegetable crop, and so on down the line.
I've heard of that before, and that is that's a good model.
It's a really good model. But what's going on here, this Norwegian thing, it's insane. So it's 98% Norwegian-owned. The fish produce several tons of waste a day, and it is pouring into the ocean. And the government here is just turning a blind eye. Californians are buying the product thinking that they are doing something good, both for their health and for the wild salmon, by eating a farm salmon. And the whole thing, I call it the emperor with no clothes. It's not sustainable. It's not benign. It is not producing food. And I don't think it's good for you. There's literature out there talking about PCB concentrations in the fat of these fish because they're so fatty. They're basically being raised on fish butter.
They feed them like GMOs and GMO soy and GMO corn. And I heard that they actually give them chicken poop, which was pretty disgusting.
But I know they feed them chicken feathers.
Oh, chicken feathers. Okay.
But I have heard the other as well, and I just haven't confirmed that. But they themselves admit to the chicken feathers. Well, that's jumbling up the food chain, and now you're really crossing.
They would never eat that in the wild. They're eating, and the thing is that these foods that they're eating, like I love what you said in the video too, where you were showing that the farm salmon it looks completely different. It has the lines of fat in there are completely different, and people are not getting the omega-3s. That they set out to get from that. And then what about jobs? Like, you know, the farm, these farming operations, they do create some jobs, but what kind of jobs are at risk here? What livelihoods are at risk when we're wiping out the wild salmon like this?
Yeah, so there's 1,700 fish farm jobs in British Columbia, but there's 8,000 jobs in sport fishing. And the wilderness tourism here is a $2.2 billion industry, whereas salmon farming is about $500 million. And these two are in direct conflict. The tourism people are trying to stop the farms from going in where the killer whales are and the wild salmon runs are.
And another reason to take the government to court, because these numbers don't even make sense for the country.
They don't make sense for the country. The fish farms are highly mechanized. They have mechanized feeders. Very few people are on the farms.
Pesticides. They put pesticides in there too, right? Well, like when you're talking about the fat, like in the fat, the pesticides would be in the fat.
They don't call them pesticides, but because the fish eats it rather than going on the surface. So technically they're not called pesticides, but they are used to delouse the fish. And they're soaked into the pellets. And it prevents the louse from making a shell, which it needs to do periodically. But the problem is when the fish excrete this, there's other things around the pen that are trying to make shells, like prawns and shrimp and crabs. And then all the plankton, a lot of the little animal life in the plankton layer is also trying to make shells. And that layer of life is feeding everybody. It's an abomination. It cuts.
Oh my gosh! Oh, do these people even have a brain in their head? This doesn't even make sense. And the fact that they're allowing these corporations to come in and take over, and that's what I wanted to. This is one of the things that you said, Dr. Morton, that I just thought it just like a light bulb went in my head, because we have been over here fighting. I've been fighting for against pesticides, genetically modified organisms, bovine growth hormone, all this stuff. And I love what you said, because right now, and then you hear about these these laws that they're trying to pass to take our rights away. We have an ag gag law here in the United States. It's the same kind of principle as the law that they were trying to pass there, Bill 37, where we're not allowed, like one woman was just standing on a public street and took a picture of a slaughterhouse and the, you know, sick animals that they were processing, sick animals there, and got that to authorities, and she's being sued for speaking up against that, and we're passing these ag gag laws just to protect these people that are feeding us this horrible food from sick animals, from contaminated animals, from, you know, and now, you know, they want to feed us genetically engineered animals and, like, not even tell us. And then what you're telling us, Dr. Morton, is that you went right into the, you went right into the store and, you know, you took fish from the store and you had it tested by the best testing labs in the world, and they said that we are finding parts of this virus in here, and this is what people are eating. And I do not want to eat any of that virus whatsoever. I don't want to be eating any fish with virus in it. It's just like, it's blowing it for me, man. It's like, it's blowing it, because I love, oh man, a good piece of wild salmon,
well,
cooked
now,
to perfection. It's just like, oh.
I still eat wild salmon because the predators are cleaning them up. Alaska is protecting their wild salmon. They have not allowed salmon farms in, and the sad thing is the fish from British Columbia are going to mix with those guys, but
yes,
now,
we've had Alaska on our show, and that's what we recommend for people to buy.
Yeah, I still eat the wild salmon around here, though. I'm a little concerned because now that I've been testing it, I don't eat anything near a salmon farm, that's for sure.
I love, you know, your message, the biggest message of all, which you mentioned in the beginning of the show, and this is something that we have been trying to get across to everyone, the power of their dollar, the power of their buying dollar. And I call them the Big Ten food corporations that are trying to dictate every single thing that we're going to eat here in the United States. And I have no desire to give any of those companies one single dollar of my money, because I feel like I'm feeding the monster. And this monster just keeps getting bigger and bigger and greedier and finding, just like that CEO of the you know, the whole farming operation there, they're expected to get profits each year, and they're willing to do whatever to do that and to keep their jobs and all this. It's like we put people in a position to become criminals and lie and do these things that they know are wrong, and then we expect them to, like, live with it, and it's just not a good situation. But what you said instead of us leaving all this to the government, where the government, we put all of this in the hands of the government, like we sit there and just la 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 and go about our lives and, like, oh, I don't want to think about this stuff. But what you're saying is we need to take it back. We need to boycott these products. We need to take back ownership of finding out whether these foods are safe or not. As citizens, we need to be going out there and getting our groups together and going and testing crops and farm animals and farm salmon and all these different foods that we're eating. We need to have, like, citizen groups that go out there. And then what you said is then we go tell the government, this is what we want you to do. Explain that, what you had in your mind with that.
So it's called the Department of Wild Salmon, and it just means linking together all the people that are already out in the rivers who know the fish, who are there. We learn to count the fish all the same way. We learn to take samples the same way. We send them to our own labs. We figure out where the fish are having problems by doing this, and we go back to society. Skip government for now. Go back to society and say, you know what? This pipe right here, or this fish farm right here, it's killing off 75% of this run. The rest of the area, the fish are maybe surviving us. I think society would go, oh, really? Right there? Okay, let's fix that. And the only thing you need government for at that point is to get the permits. Because, you know, government can have a good role in this in, you know, making sure nobody's out there poaching or taking samples without a license. Yeah, no, I understand that. So we do it all lawfully, but we don't actually need government to control us. So there's this one guy I met up the river. People were running jet boats over top of these spawning Chinook salmon in a shallow river. And he tried to get the government to put up a sign to make them stop. But the government said no. And so finally he just did up a nice sign. It said, no jet boating. And when the salmon were there spawning, he put that sign up, and there was no jet boating. People didn't know. And when they saw that, they were like, okay. So that's, I feel, the way to go forward. The people who want these fish, who are tied to them, who understand them, who love them, who need them, whatever, we need to be the ones to make the decisions about how to restore them. Because in Canada, the government is back in Ottawa, and if we let Ottawa make the decision, they are addressing trade law, international trade, corporate needs. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not wild salmon. And so they're not trying to protect wild salmon. I mean, I've been in this, like you said, for 20 years. At first, I really thought this was going to be easy. I would just go to government and say, hey, guys, we've got this little problem over here. And they would go, oh, no.
Oh, thanks for pointing that out for us, Dr. Morton. We'll take care of it right away. No, big cover-up. You know, everyone trying to cover their butts, you know. And, oh, no, that wasn't me, you know. Everyone pointing the finger at everybody else. And, oh, you got to be oh, real? Oh, man, you're kidding me. You know, excuse me, isn't that your job? And I love what you said about, you know, here are the same people that are in office, and they're supposed to be protecting against what I can't remember. What was it you said about, you know, like if we were under attack or something, or something else happened, that these are supposed to be the same people we're dependent on for that. And it's like, you know, they can't even do this right. How are they going to be doing these other things right and protecting us in these other ways if they're not doing this right?
This is it. You know, people really need to wake up and realize that things are getting out of control here. I mean, when you see the big disasters lately on the planet, like the BP oil spill and Fukushima, and you see the people in control who look scared, that is not good. So what we need to do is reassert our ability to protect our homes, to protect our food source, to protect our children and our bodies. And these are good things. You know, even these CEOs have children. And all of us who work toward keeping this planet alive, we're working for them. We're working for their children just as much as we're working for our children. I think that at some level, these CEOs and these heads of countries must be going, oh, geez, I hope somebody stops us here because, really, I don't know how to stop this. I'm bound by law to do blah, blah, blah. It's the individual with the $20 bill or the, you know, the $10 bill is going to the store and buying that piece of farm salmon. You are the fuel source that is causing so much damage to so many people and to animals, and you could stop it by taking that $10 and putting it somewhere else. Buy yourself some different food, and that is the true power that people have in a gentle, democratic, completely legal way. We can make this planet better. And people really need to think about where every single dollar goes.
And it's something we can all do.
Yeah.
And it makes such a huge impact. And I am going to be doing a big campaign here where I'm going to be pushing for forks. You know, we could change climate change with our fork. Just by what we're choosing, by choosing organic foods, that, like you said, just choose something different. We can choose foods that are not contributing to global warming. And agriculture is our biggest tool for clearing up climate change quickly. So I just want to thank you so much, Dr. Morton, for joining us today. And everyone, it's salmonfeedlotboycott.com. Salmonfeedlotboycott.com. And I'll be putting this broadcast along with that link right on our website, so you'll be able to listen. And please share this with your friends. And thank you, Dr. Morton. I just, you know, for all your work, 20 years of dedication, giving up your career, you know, and all those to go out and fight for us. And you are definitely one of our heroes out there. I really want to thank you for all you've done. And you were just so terrific today. All this information, it was wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay, everyone, and we'll get that video too, because we want you to see what I saw, and what I want you to meet Dr. Morton herself on the video, and I want you to see what she has to look at over there happening to the salmon, and you'll understand why she's taken on Canadian federal government and is willing to do whatever she has to protect this wonderful fish. I mean, the salmon, it's just like, it gives life. It is such a big part of so many cultures. We just need to do everything we can. So boycott farm salmon, everyone, please. All right. Please go visit our website and join us on Facebook, Pinterest, and YouTube, all those things, everyone, okay? And next week, next Thursday, 4 o'clock, right here. Thanks a lot for tuning in, everyone. Bye for now.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com.